This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And if you'd like to join our conversation, please give us a ring at 877-217-5757. You can always send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. In just a moment, we'll hear from the professors on the left, Dane Sherman and Hammond, and on the right, it'll be Jeff Sato in Shreveport, two frequent contributors to this program. And again, if you'd like to join our conversation, 877-217-5757. An amazing week in national politics with the impeachment of the President of the United States going to a vote in the Senate, 52-48, and it was in favor of the President. So 19 votes shy of what it would have taken to remove President Trump from office. Also, an amazing State of the Union address that ended with the Speaker of the House tearing up the President's speech. It started with the President refusing to shake the hand of one Nancy Pelosi. And the Iowa caucuses. In Iowa, Democrats faced a debacle in vote counting, and they're still deliberating who actually won in the Hawkeye State. We'll talk about this with Sato and Sherman. But before we go there, let's hear from the President, who yesterday, in an hour-long, profanity-filled tirade that was supposed to be, at least it was promoted as a victory speech for his acquittal. Here's how he sounded when he started talking about, for almost 5 minutes, one Steve Scalise, congressman from Louisiana.
A man who's braver than me and braver than all of us in this room, he got whacked. He got whacked. My Steve, right? I went to the hospital with our great first lady that night, right, honey? And we saw a man that was not going to make it. He was not going to make it. He was the doctor. And I told him, his wife, I said, she loves you. Why do you say that? Because she was devastated. A lot of wives wouldn't give a damn. A lot of wives would have said, hey, yeah. I said, how's he doing? Oh, she couldn't even talk. She was inconsolable. Most wives would say, not good. Listen, I'm going home now. But the doctor came in. The wife is like, she was a total mess. She was really devastated. And it really looked like he had a 20, 25% chance. I think you set a record for blood loss. And Steve Scalise, I think you're better looking now. You're more handsome now. You weren't that good looking. You look good now. He looks better now. Can you believe it? I don't know.
All right. Dane Sherman, we'll get you to start there. Certainly an unusual description of a man who was fighting for his life from the President of the United States talking about Louisiana's Steve Scalise.
Well, we certainly know that the President misses calling as a stand-up comic. We can at least agree on that. I think that's just the tenor of the day. I think he probably been better just showing up to the national prayer breakfast without actually saying anything. And those are the times that he could really increase his stock with the American people, and he just comes out and says these crazy things. Certainly, Steve Scalise was in a bad position. We're happy that he was not killed and that he has made not a complete recovery, but pretty close to it. But, certainly he does not, the President does not take some things seriously. He needs to take more seriously.
877-217-5757. Jeff Sato joining us from Shreveport, countering his counterpart in Hammond, one Dane Sherman. And Professor Sato, the President's never at a loss for words, and the words went on and on and on, and he was calling Jim Comey a sleazebag and a scumbag and tearing into other people, including the frequent target, Hillary Clinton. The President, it seems that he has a way, as some would say, of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Here he was in his moment of acquittal, and instead of taking the high road, he obviously was Trumpian to a fault. What do you think?
Well, Trump's always been unfiltered. You never really know what's going to come out of his mouth, and of course that irritates some people. It entertains others. I don't think there's anything that's going to change anybody's views about him.
Well, if that's the case, then he will lose the vote in 2020 in 38 and a half weeks and win the election. How do you see the election?
Well, it. In political science, there's a little cottage industry that goes on with models that predict elections. And there's lots of different ones, but they basically all come down to two things. One, some kind of indicator of popularity. The other, some kind of indicator of the economy. And these models have been trending now for the last couple of years, mainly on the basis of economic performance, towards a Trump re-election victory. And with his popularity now at its highest level, the economy showing no real signs of any retrenchment of any kind. You take a look at these models now, and pretty much all of them are predicting a Trump victory, and some a fairly substantial one. So, you know, for now, I'll go with that as an indicator. I think it's looking good for Trump re-election. It's just, you know, again, we're what, 10 months out, and lots could happen.
Jeff Sato, it appears Democrats have to get their act together. They have to find a candidate, and the start was not pretty. It was messy in Iowa. As they go to New Hampshire, both Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg are claiming victory in Iowa. And, of course, Michael Bloomberg's still in the race, spending lots of money. Joe Biden is hoping for a comeback. There's Elizabeth Warren. There's Amy Klobuchar. What do you think as far as the prospective Democratic nominee defeating Donald John Trump first Tuesday of November? Dane Sherman, what do you think about the prospect of this happening?
It's not likely.
Yes, certainly it's going to be hard. I think Dr. Sadow is, he called it pretty straight. It's going to be very hard. The only thing that the Democrats have in their favor is that when they, it seems as though, and you saw this with the governor's race, when their backs are to the wall, they seem to perform better. So it comes down to the four B's right now, and I'm going to put the candidates in order of, I think, the most likely to get the nomination down to the least likely, and that's Bernie, Buttigieg, Biden, and Bloomberg, in that order. And I don't know who's going to emerge victorious, but the main thing they have going to it for them is that the Democrats seem to overperform when they're kind of said to have no chance and their backs to the wall, and it may motivate enough Democrats to come out and vote against President Trump in those key swing states.
Well, some would say that's the B team, literally, trying to unseat a president who is larger than life. Like him or loathe him, Donald Trump is a person who just generates one headline after another, and it starts at the beginning of the day when he has tweeted something usually, and it never stops throughout the day. And then the next day he changes the subject, and we roll merrily along. He didn't have any real nice words to say for Willard Mitt Romney, who his son used the P word to refer to. Dane Sherman, Mitt Romney, some people are saying he's a statesman. Others are saying he's a Judas. What do you think?
I think Mitt Romney showed his mettle and showed his character, and I think he will go down in the history books as somebody who, had a level of integrity. He obviously lived out his Mormon faith, and Romney's stock has risen, in my view, and I think that's going to be the way it is for a long time. He's going to have to fight the president back because they are going to attack him at least for the next 4 years, but I think he knew what he was buying into when he made that decision and cast that vote.
Is Mitt dead on arrival in the Republican Party, Jeff?
Yeah, he's probably dead on arrival in Utah, as a matter of fact. The polling there has not been kind to him, and you have to remember Utah has an unusual procedure for nominating candidates for office. It can actually be, you can actually kind of go outside the primary system in order to have that candidate. And so he's in trouble there. We may well have seen, at least in elective terms, we might have seen the last of Mitt Romney as a result of this.
Well, Mitt Romney is 73 years old. He won't be up for re-election until 2024 when he's 77. So by then, he may be running for president again. Who knows? Along with John Neely Kennedy, who's likely to run for president in 2024 as well. 877-217-5757 for Sato and Sherman. Here's Max and Gonzalez. Max, you're on the air. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. What is going on with Bloomberg?
Bloomberg?
It seems like, yeah, Bloomberg. I mean, you keep hearing about him running. He doesn't do much but run a Super Bowl ad. When is he going to come out and say or do something.
All right.
And I'll take my answer off
all
the
right.
air.
All right. Thank you, Max. Dane, he's putting all his marbles on Super Tuesday. And right now, with the Democrats not really solidifying behind a candidate, it might actually work.
Yeah, I think he's trying to – I think he's playing it in a way that I think he's waiting. He's spending his money. He's trying to build some momentum at the right time, and he's kind of hoping that those other three Bs kind of self-destruct, and he walks in there.
Okay, well, we're going to go to a break, but watch for Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York City. He was a Republican then, being a factor in Louisiana. He's hired Richard Carbo, the governor's former top aide, and we'll see. When Bloomberg was asked the other day about the prospect of two billionaires being on the ballot, he said, "Who's the other one?" We're back after this 90-second pause. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing. Talk at talklouisiana.org is our email, and again, our number is 877-217-5757. Professors Jeff Sato and Dane Sherman are with us, and Bernie Sanders raised $25 million in January, his campaign had reported yesterday. This is a staggering sum. It's more than any candidate from the Democrats has raised in a whole quarter. So he has this very loyal following, and most of these are not big donors either. He's got thousands and thousands of people in this movement that he, at the age of 79, is leading with a heart that just had surgery and a guy who he has no doubt a base that is probably every bit as strong as President Trump's base. It would come down to those in the middle, and that's where the problem is, most think, for Bernie Sanders. But Jeff Sato, no doubt that Sanders has the most energetic following. Is that enough to get him the nomination?
Well, I don't know. I think you're correct in that assessment, and in some ways that means it's Bernie versus the world. As far as a lot of Democrats are concerned, you have that very energetic base for him, and for others, you know, they're basically looking at, well, you know, we've got maybe this alternative on the far left, Warren. If that's not your cup of tea, you want to go a little more towards the center. There's the other two guys. Bloomberg's interesting gambit getting in late. It's just a matter of which of these guys or gal in this case can consolidate that anti-Bernie vote. But I agree. I think that's he's kind of the focus of the campaign right now, and what happens is going to be kind of a reflection off of him at this point.
Only 53% of Sanders supporters say they would vote certainly for the Democratic nominee, and last time around, many Bernie supporters defected to Trump, and that cost Hillary Clinton the election. Bernie is not even a Democrat, Dane Sherman. How does he do it?
It's an amazing thing. I mean, he just has very strong followers, and he's a charismatic guy. I mean, he, in a way, I probably said this before on the radio with you, that in some ways he's a lot like Trump. He seems to say what he thinks. People respect him for that. And that goes a long way in the kind of politics we have. It's so cleaned up and polished. People like to hear somebody say what they think, and he just has a loyal following. You mentioned earlier that Romney in 2024 might run for president, but he may be too young at 77 when you compare him to what we have now.
Bernie, yeah. And Bloomberg. And Biden, he would be younger than they are right now. And Trump is no spring chicken. He'll be 74 in June. 877-217-5757. Still time to get in with Professor Sherman and Sato. Ray in Prairieville. Hi, Ray. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking the call, Jim. Just two quick questions. First of all, to Dr. Sato, always appreciate his contributions in The Advocate, his columns. The other thing on the acquittal, I was very disappointed. I'm not going to give my own opinion, but I was very disappointed that just about all the Democrats followed the Democratic line, that all the Republicans, with the exception of one only, Mitt Romney, followed the Republican line. You'd think that with this legal aspect of this, that we'd have a division of intermediates, but it didn't happen.
What about the party line vote, almost party line? Jeff?
I think with that, you know, we are in a situation, you have to understand that impeachment, at least as defined by the Constitution, is very nebulous. You can basically be impeached for anything. And so we got a couple of fairly nebulous charges that went for abuse of power. What is that? How do you define that? And so I think it's very easy to put a partisan lens to that and say, all right, well, this is and this isn't. And of course, complicating matters further is the fact that basically what Trump was accused of doing, lots of other presidents have done. So I think it made it very easy to make that a partisan decision, and that's why you saw the vote break down that way.
And in the Senate 21 years ago, it was also a very partisan affair with President Clinton. And no Democrat voted to remove Clinton from office, but this time, first time in history, and there have been three impeachments, a Republican, Mitt Romney, voted to basically remove a candidate, and not only a candidate, but an office holder, the President of the United States, from his own party, from office. Here is Paul in Opelousas. Hi, Paul. Good morning to you.
Yeah, doing good. Just want to ask your guest, what do you see for the state of Louisiana in the next 4 years for governor?
All right, what about the governor's office in 2023? I would imagine, Dane, there will be a number of candidates lining up, most from the Republican side. Is this going to be a one-party affair, the 2023 governor's election?
That's what I think it will be. I don't see anybody on the Democratic side coming up. The Republicans are going to just fight this thing out. It's going to be nasty. They'll be beating each other to pieces. It'll be the usual suspects from Kennedy to Landry to just the non-guesser. Could be a plethora of Republican candidates, but there's not much coming up from the Democratic side.
All right. John Kennedy, he's 68, another 4 years. He'll be 72. I don't think he's going to run, but he'll run for president in 2024, run for reelection to the Senate in 2022. But what about the other Republicans? He mentioned, Dane did, two of them who are likely to run, and Jeff Landry and Billy Nungesser. How do you see the field, Professor Sato?
Yeah, those two are going to go for it, and I suspect that no big-name Democrat, so to speak, is going to get into the race, although it would be, it might have been a little press to say John Bel Edwards is a big-name Democrat when he got in 2015. But I think what's going to happen is Nungesser is going to become the Democrat by default. I think he's been positioning himself for years now to go after that kind of vote as a surrogate Democrat. So you'll see him. You'll see Landry. I think Garrett Graves is a possibility. Maybe legislators like Sharon Hewitt, kind of depends on what happens over the next few years.
All right. And congressmen often have an advantage in running for governor of Louisiana because it's an off year. They don't have to give up their seats, and we've elected four of them in modern time, and Edwards, Treen, Romer, and Jindal. Jim and Jefferson. Jim, you're on with Jeff Sato and Dane Sherman. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Mitt Romney certainly proved that he was the only Republican with brains, a spine, and the testicles to actually use them. But we're looking at contemporaneous writings of the Founding Fathers, as well as specific, very specific, court cases at the time in England that absolutely laid out what their fears were for abuse of power.
All right, what about Romney saying that this was just too much? And, of course, he said his faith influenced him and then got ridiculed by the president. And the president's son questioned his masculinity. The Trumps, they like to go there for guys who probably, Dane, are not in the best physical condition themselves. But what do you think?
Yeah, they constantly try to belittle people. That's their brand. That's how they do it. I don't take them too seriously. As far as physical condition, of all the candidates we've mentioned for president, Romney is about the best shape of any of them. He looked really, when he gave his speech, it was a great speech, and he just You know, he looked the presidential part.
Yeah, he looks
but I
like
think
he
his
came
time
of,
has passed.
Came out of Central Casting, and a few years ago, he had the audacity to box Evander Holyfield. Knocked him out, too. Dan Downtown, look at it on YouTube. Dan Downtown, you're on with Dane and Jeff. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Yeah, Professor Sadow was honoring the Tuskegee Airmen away for Trump and his handlers to distract from the insults to the memory of John McCain.
All right, what about honoring the Tuskegee Airmen and the State of the Union address?
Yeah, why not? I mean, anybody gets 100 years old, that's pretty good. So, these kinds of opportunities presidents have been taking in State of the Union addresses for a long time. And
877-217-5757. We'll return with Jeff Sadow and Dane Sherman for a few more minutes after this brief timeout on Talk Louisiana. Now the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. A bit more time with Dane Sherman and Jeff Sadow, two professors of note, speaking as individuals, not as employees of their universities. Jeff at LSU Shreveport, where he's been for about three decades or more, and Dane in Hammond at SLU. Charlotte in New Iberia. Charlotte, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning to you all. Could the case be made that during this impeachment ordeal, the Democrats in the House prove that they do adhere to, understand, and have read the Constitution and know exactly what the founders and of the country and the framers of the Constitution meant, and not, as the Republicans have in the past claimed, well, when Scalia was alive, oh, the framers would have meant this and the framers would have meant that. And going with what they think they meant instead of what they actually said and meant.
All right. Thank you, Charlotte. Professor Sato?
Well, as I mentioned a little earlier, the Constitution is very nebulous in terms of what can be impeached. And basically, you can be impeached for anything at all. So, you know, if that's what the caller means in terms of what the framers intended, well, then that's basically what happened.
And Professor Sherman.
Yeah, I mean, I think they followed the Constitution. And, if you follow the Constitution, that doesn't mean you're going to be successful. And this is one of the issues that, as Americans, we think when you do something, it's got to be successful or it's wrong. And ultimately, it did not have the desired end, which is to have the president removed from office. But that doesn't mean that the Constitution wasn't followed, and I think they voted the right way, and the Democrats in the House and the Democrats with the help of Mitt Romney in the Senate, they did the right thing, and, you know, sometimes it just does not come out to pass the way you wanted it to be.
877-217-5757, and David in Lafayette says, he says, why do I think and what do our guests think about the prospect of John Kennedy running for president in 2024? I'm not kidding about this, by the way. Think about the U.S. senators right now, and there aren't many in the Senate who are better known than John Neely Kennedy. And as we know, Dane, he is a man of great ambition. In fact, in his 1969 yearbook, Zachary High School, where he was student body president, his stated goal in life was to become president of the United States.
Yeah, I think his ambition is far greater than his skill and ability. And I think, though I would not be shocked in the least if he ran for president, I don't believe that John Kennedy is going to have much traction.
Well, he might get a delegate, which is something Bobby Jindal didn't do, Jeff.
Yeah, we'll kind of keep the streak going. And in the last few elections, Romer, Jindal, and Kennedy. But I don't know, he's getting up there. I don't see him coming back to run for governor. I think probably the most likely thing is he'll go for one more term in the Senate, and we'll see what happens after that.
Well, another listener notes, as I spoke yesterday, Bill Cassidy, and I'll give him credit, he did acknowledge that he received 7,000 phone calls, most of which asked him to vote the other way in this impeachment process, but he's up for re-election, and Kennedy's up in 2 years. And Dane, there's no Democrat out there challenging him with any kind of resources or campaign apparatus at this point.
No, and likely there's not going to be, because the Democratic Party in Louisiana is extremely weak. I think one of the greatest things that our governor could do, Governor Edwards, is try to reorient the Louisiana Democratic Party to have some kind of competition. I don't know that that's a priority at all, stated or unstated, but I think that would be a noble goal, because any state or any country that doesn't have a strong two-party system for competition and whatnot, they're going to suffer. And the one-party rule is not a good thing, even if it's dominated by Democrats, as it has been in the past. Now it's dominated by Republicans, and I don't think that's good for the state.
You get the last word, Jeff Sato.
Yeah, the Louisiana Republican and Democratic parties are probably the weakest state parties in the country. There are a number of reasons for that. Our history, political culture, and the blanket primary system. So you look at the way things are going now, yeah, it's the Democrats are not likely to put up a competitive candidate in either of those contests at this point.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Dane. Always a pleasure to talk with both of you gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.